This episode is sponsored by the On with Origins podcast. Learn how crediting experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. On the show today, we have SRM's very own Paul Davis. He is here talking to us about five key areas that require watching as the CFPB exerts its influence on the banking space here in 2023. So really interesting stuff here from Paul, so I hope you check it out. Welcome to our show, and on today's program, we have SRM's very own Paul Davis. Paul, how are you, sir? Good to see you again.
Yeah, doing great, Mike. How about you?
I'm doing all right. Better now that you're here. We get to talk about something cool today.
Absolutely. Nothing better than the CFPB, right?
Oh yeah. Those are headline grabbers for sure. So yeah, to get a bit more specific, five key areas that require watching as the CFPB exerts its influence on the banking space here in 2023. So with that said, the title, give us a quick overview and then we'll dive into these five areas that we can expect to see this year.
Yeah, so absolutely. So, we feel like, obviously the regulatory environment broadly is worth watching in this year. But, rather than try to spread ourselves too thin, we decided that we'd start with one agency, dissect that, and then potentially revisit others over time. So the CFPB seemed like an obvious first place to stop simply because they are so broad-based in what they're looking at. And while not everybody is technically directly impacted by the CFPB, their presence should be felt in certain ripple effects throughout the industry.
Yeah, no doubt. And they do that very well. Yes. So you guys, this is all kind of based on a report that you wrote too, kind of, and the title, I love the title here, Keeping Watch Over the Watchdogs. So it's what to expect here from the CFPB in 2023. So let's dive into these five areas real quick, right? So number one, kind of a rapid fire here, open banking and encouraging competition. So what do we need to look for here from the folks at CFPB?
Yeah, so it was funny. So like right before we put out the report, the CFPB put out a request for comment on a proposal that isn't specifically an open banking proposal, but it certainly lays the groundwork for open banking, i.e. making it a lot easier for consumers to own their data, and by extension, making it easier for people to move their business from one financial institution to the other.
Right.
The other thing that we've seen from the CFPB is they kind of recast one of their internal groups to make it an innovation committee, and that is supposed to, among other things, remove barriers of entry to new market competitors. So the way I look at it is potentially making it easier for neobanks, challenger banks, and other kind of startups to compete in the broader financial space.
Yeah. Agreed. And number two here, a campaign against junk fees. And we heard about this with the president's State of the Union speech last week or whenever it was. So what's going on with junk fees?
Yeah. So, obviously we'll have a two-pronged approach. I think, number one, the administration is going to really push hard for legislation on this issue. Now, obviously with the Republican controlled House, may not happen anytime soon from that area. However, the CFPB is certainly making it very clear that they're going to be targeting. They just put out a proposal where they want to cap late charges for credit cards at $8 a transaction. Mm-hmm. They also are looking very strongly at overdraft and NSF fees. We noticed, if you noticed, they did hit a large regional bank with a financial penalty a couple of months ago for a policy that bank had actually discontinued a year prior. What you're going to see here is, and again, junk fees, let's say junk in quotation marks, because a lot of, obviously our folks and your folks as well wouldn't consider them junk. They consider them a service that's actually for the good of customers and members.
Right.
But the CFPB views these things as predatory, and they're going to parse over the terms, the language, the disclosures. And that's really where I think, our credit unions really need to be mindful of, is just making sure that the disclosures are clear, transparent, and document to the best of their ability that these charges are actually in the best interest of the member.
Oh, completely agree with you. So, and number three here, focusing on credit card late fees. You kind of alluded to this one in your previous response.
Exactly. I mean, you could almost roll this all up under the idea of quote unquote junk fees. But again, the same idea here is that you're going to see the CFPB potentially tighten up on the larger institutions that it oversees, which could then potentially create competitive pressure on smaller financial institutions, particularly the majority of credit unions, to potentially follow suit as well. You know, obviously, you know, a large bank may not necessarily want to cap their fees for all these types of things, but doing so might make them a more attractive option to versus somebody who doesn't have those caps in place.
Yeah, they could kind of use that in their marketing messages, if you will. So, if they want,
you know, that's basically that's finding the silver lining, I suppose. Yeah. You know,
maybe I spoke too soon on that one. Number four, CFPB calls out fintech partnerships. This one really made my eyebrows raise. So what's the reasoning behind this one?
Well, I think, you know, I pulled that out of a comment that one of the CFP deputies made a few months ago, where she labeled banking as a service a quote unquote rent-a-bank scheme. So, you know, again, it's all about connotation, context. So whereas, you know, an overdraft fee is being labeled a junk fee, banking as a service is now being, you know, labeled by the Bureau as rent-a-bank scheme. So what does that mean? But that just means that, you know, we're going to see them looking at those relationships a lot more closely. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see a push not only by the CFPB, but obviously the OCC is doing this. I think others will follow suit, where they're going to try to hold the supporting financial institution not necessarily liable, but there'll be some accountability on the bank or the credit union for the behavior of the fintech?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah. That could open up a can of worms for sure, which is even more reason to vet those third-party vendors even more so. So, yeah. So be on your toes with that type of stuff for sure.
Vet those parties, be in constant communication with your regulator about your strategy and who you're working with, all those types of things.
Yeah. Yep. Good point. All right. Last but not least here, how to handle buy now, pay later. Haven't we heard enough of this already?
You know, it's funny. I mean, I threw it in there simply because, you know, again, as we were putting together the report, this was a very fluid report, because every time I thought we were finished with it, the CFPB put something else out. And we're like, well, gosh, we need to, you know, we can't ignore that. So, you know, the CFPB's position is they took data from five leading buy now, pay later firms, looked over it for months and months and months, and their final determination was this is a swap out for credit cards. So we feel like these should be treated like credit cards, both from a disclosures, in terms of disclosures and terms, but also in terms of how the CFPB is going to supervise and oversee these programs as well. Now, we think that's I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I think that most of the credit unions and banks out there that have years of experience in the payments ecosystem know how to adequately disclose the terms and conditions of those types of products. So we look at it as, you know what, this may be a reason to explore buy now, pay later.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you can also figure out how to underwrite properly, manage the credit risk, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's going to be, well, and that one's, yeah, that's the consistent evolution of all of this stuff for sure. So the big takeaway here for credit unions, Paul, is what, based on these five areas?
I mean, the basic thing here is, make sure that you are properly vetting your products and services. Make sure that you're documenting everything as far as making sure. I mean, the nice thing for credit unions is, I've mentioned to people before, it's a member-oriented institution. Mm-hmm. It would be very deleterious to a credit union to do something that harms its own members,
right?
So the idea here is just make sure that you're clearly documenting the things that you're doing. Show that you're trying to have open disclosures, mm-hmm. that you're, you know, that these are best suited products and services for your members. But also bear in mind that, you know, with this idea of open banking and innovation, as well as, you know, some of the things that may happen for larger institutions on the fee side, mm-hmm. things might be a little bit more competitive in terms of pricing pressure on your fees and also just how many people enter the market.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like transparency is the key word in there. So, yeah.
Transparency is the key, regardless of which regulator you're working with, I think, at this point. And documentation. Document everything.
Yeah.
Keep the receipts.
Yeah, exactly. As we all learn every day. So, all right. All right, Paul, anything else to add to wrap up here? This is great, great stuff here. Anything else?
I would just emphasize too that while we're focusing on the CFPB, a lot of the areas that they are homing in on are also areas that we would expect to see other regulators eventually follow suit. Obviously the NCUA kind of works independently sometimes of the other regulators, but you know, you see the banking regulators on the federal side, a lot of them generally end up in the same place. They get there in different directions. And just bear in mind that as that regulatory process plays out, it's going to be a very dynamic situation that I know we're going to be paying attention to the rest of the year. And obviously, the credit union industry will as well.
Yeah, definitely going to be an interesting year regulatory wise for sure. So, alrighty, sir. Thanks, Leah and Paul. Appreciate the time. Thanks for all you guys do there at SRM. And this report is awesome. We'll have a link to it in the show notes too, so people can get right to it and check it out. More details in there, obviously. So, yeah, so good stuff. And look forward to the next conversation. Well done, sir.
Thank you. Take care.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. This episode is sponsored by the On with Origins podcast. Learn how credit union experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results.